Amen. Amen. Deuteronomy chapter 32, two verses I'm going to read. Verse 15. The Jezreel waxed fat, and that's Israel, and kicked. Thou art waxing fat, thou art grown thick, thou art covered with fatness. Then he forsook the God which made him, and lightly esteemed the rock of his salvation. The word esteemed there means that to be foolish or to be wicked. Carries with it the thought of disgrace, dishonor, fading away, just slowly fading away. Verse 18, for the rock that begat thee, of the rock that begat thee, thou art unmindful, and hast forgotten God that formed thee. Amen? And, of course, it's talking about Israel. And when you read the Old Testament, I don't know how what it was you, but every time I read it, I'm thinking, why are you doing this? You've seen all these miracles that God did for you. You've seen how he took care and challenged every god of Egypt when he was down in Egypt and defeated him. And yet, there you are, murmuring, complaining, belly aching. And every time I read it, I'm currently... my devotions is in each chapter of Jeremiah when I can get to them in the mornings. And I just every time I read through the Old Testament and those prophets, a while back we just finished up writing all the minor and prophets for the lessons. And I'm just amazed. I just think, that don't make a bit of sense. All of the miracles that God did for Israel, up to Joshua, he would perform a miracle and tell them to believe. I mean, right in front of them, he would do that. Starting in Joshua, he said, if you'll believe, I'll do a miracle. He sort of reversed it because we're to live by faith. Are you listening? And so it's amazing to me how that they turned their back on the rock. Now, 1 Corinthians 10:4 says, for they drank of that spirit, spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Amen. Y'all pray for me. I've had to go back to glasses. And I told someone this morning I see better without them than I do with them, but they told me I had to wear them for at least a couple of weeks for my eyes to adjust since I had that eye surgery. And so if I mispronounce a word, it's just because I'm half blind, I guess. Amen. But it's amazing to me how that they so quickly forgot God. And then I look at America. A Frenchman came to America once, they said, and he visited. He wanted to see, this was years ago, he wanted to see what was making America so great. He visited their factories. He visited their farmland. And he never did come to a conclusion until he visited their churches. And he said, oh, there's why America is great. I'm talking to you tonight on this subject. Have you forgotten who he is? Have you forgotten who he is? And when I read in the Old Testament, I see how they treated God and how they turned their back on God. And some of them were real religious. They went to the synagogue or the temple and worshiped God. And then they'd get out and go down to Baal. And then worship Baal. They would come in and go through the motion, the rituals that God had set up, and then they'd go out and sin against God. And I look at that, and I read that, and I hear about that, and then I look at America. And I'm thinking, wow, we're following the same footsteps. Now, amen. When I was a boy and went to school, in elementary school in Tazewell, Virginia, every classroom had the Ten Commandments in it. Every classroom. I knew, Brother Brown, right up, I'm not to lie. I knew. And if a kid walked up to me and said, let's play adultery, I said, no, we can't play adultery. It says not to right there. Didn't know what it was, but we knew we weren't supposed to play it. Amen. Now, amen. It just didn't happen. I thought the other day, I was thinking about some kids and how they were misbehaving in public, and my mother, when she got Alzheimer's, she was this way to begin with, but when she got Alzheimer's, she got worse. And we'd be in a doctor's office, and a person's kid would be cutting up and kicking the mommy and sassing the mommy, and she would reach out to grab it, to spank it. And I said, no, Mom, you can't do that. That's not your child. You can't do it. She said, you know good and well I've told you. You're to honor and respect your mommy. You're to honor and respect people in authority. You're to honor and respect adults. I've told you that. And I said, but Mommy, that's not your kid. And of course, the mother turned blood red and, you know. But I'm just amazed at how we've come. We wonder why all the shootings in our school. Could it be? I'm just asking a question. We took the Ten Commandments out. And that verse that says, thou shalt not kill, is not there. Could it be? Amen? Israel forgot and esteemed lightly. They faded away from. And I don't believe it was just an overnight thing. I believe it just slowly drifted away. Jeremiah even said this, that they were saying, peace, peace, when there was no peace. Their prophets was prophesying falsely. And they were saying, oh, everything's going to be fine. Everything's going to be great. I mean, we serve God. And their hearts was far away from God. And this is what happened. They forgot their rock. And so I'm going to use for a title tonight, have you forgotten who he is? Have you forgotten who he is? And just a few simple things, and some men say, I know that. Yeah, but have you forgotten? Have you forgotten who Jesus Christ is? Well, he's my Savior, he's my Lord, yes, but have you forgotten who he is? I catch myself sometimes. And by the way, life is pretty rough. Can I get a witness? It really is. You can be going along feeling fine, and all of a sudden, doctor tells you got cancer. You ain't going to live for 6 months. You can be going along and a bank account's fine, and all of a sudden, you're broke. Life just, well, let me tell put to you this one. Life just ain't fair. It really isn't. You try to do right, and it goes wrong for you. The next person does wrong and it goes right for them. Have you ever figured that out? If you do, would you please explain it to me? Amen. I never have quite figured that out. Except for one thing. I know who my Savior is. I know who my Lord is. And I know that he works things in my life that my faith might be stronger in him and not in me. And not in my surroundings. Have you forgotten who he is? Have you forgotten the fact that he left heaven, came down, the Holy Ghost overshadowed a virgin, and he was conceived in that virgin and born on that day, laid in a manger, wrapped in swaddling clothes. And they tell me that word swaddling clothes carries with the thought of grave cloth. And there he laid in a manger, straw. In a stable of all places. He did not come to kings. He did not come in the palace. He did not come that way. He came lowly. And isn't it amazing how he went? He didn't announce it to the kings or the governors or nothing like that. He went to shepherd boys. And you got to understand something about shepherd boys. That was the lowest profession of work that there was. The Egyptians didn't even like to be in the same room with a shepherd. And that was very lowly. But that's who the angels went to. Hallelujah. And they announced that the Savior was born. And born right where prophecy said he would be, in Bethlehem. But do you understand? Can you comprehend just what? Here is the Son of God who left the portals of glory, came down to this little mud ball called earth, took upon himself the flesh of man, yet without sin, and walked among us. Think about that a minute. The Son of God, who was very much God in every way. Amen? You say, I don't understand all that. I don't either. I don't serve three gods. I only serve one God. And He was so great, He manifested Himself in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. Amen. That's the God I serve. And by the way, I'm kind of amazed about myself. I'm a Trinity. You're a Trinity. Amen? Your body, and that's world conscious. Amen? And your soul, and that's self-conscious, and your spirit, and that causes you to be God-conscious. You think that wrestling in your soul is for you to get a new boat. It may be that you just need to get right with God. Amen? And we need to understand that. I can't quite comprehend that, but Paul said it this way. He said to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And so, beloved, he left the portals of glory. Galatians 4:4 says, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law. It's hard when I read about that, and I try to keep that fresh in my mind, though. I've been saved 54 years, been preaching 51 years. I try to keep that fresh in my mind. The virgin-born Son of God. Hallelujah. He took upon flesh and walked among this world. And I've heard people say, well, He should have came at this time. Communication is better. Most people don't realize it, but the Roman government, they conquered the known world at that time. They had built roads, and it was much easier for them to travel. But it was the very time when God said, Son, you're to go. The very time. Amen? And so, but do you realize what He did? Can you comprehend that? Sometimes I try to wrap my little pea brain around that, and I'm thinking, wow, how could He do that? How could He do that? Very much God, very much the Son of God, left heaven and walked upon this earth. He came unto His own, the Scripture says, but the own received Him not. But to as many as receive Him, to them become the sons of God. Have you forgotten that He left heaven for you? I tell you how much I believe it. I'll be fine as only a man on earth. He would come for me. Hallelujah. Amen? And so He left heaven, beloved, virgin born, and came down here. Have you forgotten that? That's not just a... By the way, every day is Christmas Day to a child of God. Every day is Easter Day to a child of God. Amen? He came because He loved us, and God loves us. And the great verse of John 3:16, for God so loved the world. And so, have you forgotten that? Just what? I mean, God coming and tabernacling with man. And then, secondly of all, I read about where He was 12 years old, and He was amazing the religious leaders of this day. He was just amazing them at that age. And, of course, what had happened is they'd went up to Jerusalem to worship at the Passover, and they were going back, and Mom and Dad, looked around. He wasn't there. I've heard preachers criticize that, but you have to understand that day and time, uncles and aunts and cousins and everybody else went together, and they went down to Jerusalem. So when it's going back, they just assumed he's with Grandma or Grandpa, or he's with the aunt or an uncle or some of his cousins. And you remember when they found him, beloved, what he said to them when they said, why have you done this to us? Why have you scared us half to death, so to speak? And he said, I must be about my Father's business. Amen. I must be about my Father's business. And if you're saved tonight, you and I, we need to be about our Father's business. And what was the Father's business for Jesus? To die for fallen man. And what is our business today? To tell fallen man that there is a God in heaven that loves them and wants to save them and take them to heaven. Amen? Amen. And so, beloved, they were amazed. The religious leaders were amazed, beloved. And then at his baptism, when he went to be baptized, and John the Baptist told him, he said, I have need to be baptized. He said, no, you just do this. Just go ahead. And when he baptized him, the Father spoke from heaven and says, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. When was the last time he spoke to your heart? I'm not talking about this hokey-pokey stuff you see on TV a lot of times. I mean that the sweet Spirit of God, the Lord Jesus, by the Spirit of God, just spoke to your heart. When was the last time? Have you forgotten that he can speak to you? Isn't it amazing how the sweet Spirit of God, you'll be doing something? I try my best to read my Bible quite a bit, and I've read it through several times. I won't tell you how many times, but I'm amazed that each time I read it, a verse that he just jumps out at, he speaks to my heart, Brother Steinfleder, and he just speaks to my heart afresh in me. Time and time again, I thought, wow, I didn't see it. I've read through that verse quite a few times. Wow, look at that. And the Spirit of God said, look here, look here. Look here, look here. And you're going down the road and you're having a pity party. Remember what I said about pity party? You're the only one invited and there are no refreshments served. And all of a sudden the sweet Spirit of God just speaks to you. Jesus speaks to you. Maybe he just says something like, I love you. I'm with you. I'm going to take care of it. You just wait on me. You trust me. I'm going to take care of it. Amen. And so, beloved, he speaks to us as he amazed us. And just as the Lord said, hear ye him. We need to hear him. By the way, the first place you hear him is right here. You never read this, you're not going to hear much from him. Amen? I remember a few years back talking to a veteran in a hospital from World War II. And his wife was there and she said, I've still got his letters. And she did like this. And she said, he was constantly telling me, wait for me, honey, I love you. I love you. You're my love. You're my love. I love you. Please wait for me. And I thought about that. That's what this Bible is basically telling us. I love you. You just wait. I'm a-coming for you. Hallelujah. I'm a-coming. Amen? I'm going to take care of you. Just trust me. Amen? And so, beloved, at his baptism, and God said, hear ye him. And we need to hear him. I don't know how the rest of you feel, and I'm not for a lot of stuff going on, but I'm telling you, every now and then I like to feel the sweet Spirit of God permeating through my soul, amen? You say, you're kind of vocal. Yeah, I'm just that way. I'm sorry. I'm just geared that way, amen? I was raised up in modernism, and when God saved me, beloved, it thrilled my soul, hallelujah, that, amen, my works wouldn't get me there, but Jesus was getting me there. And so that's why, amen, I don't want to change. Somebody said, when are you going to change? I ain't going to change. Forget it. I'm still sticking with the old book, amen, and the old worship of God, amen. Fourthly of all, have you forgotten he's still a miracle worker? Now think about that a moment. We live in a time when we got a lot of wildfire and foolishness and flesh stuff going on. And we Baptists, I'll just pick on us, we've sort of withdrawn. I don't want nobody to think I'm a fanatic. Did you hear that? Somebody said amen. Oh. I got news for you. Old time Baptist was shouting it out and praising God long before that crowd ever came on the scene. You check out Baptist history and see if I ain't right. Amen? He's a miracle worker. His first miracle was at a wedding. Think about that. He was at a wedding. His mother went to him and said, we're out of wine. She said, woman, what do you, you know, what are you saying? It's not my time. And she walked by the servant. She said, whatever he tells you to do, you do it. And he looks over at those servants. Now think about this a moment. And he said, fill the pot up with water. How would you like to have been that servant? Probably two of them carrying it. It must have been a big thing. How would you like to have been those servants? You knew what you put in there. You put water in there. And he said, now carry it to the Lord, or the master of the house, the main fellow over the wedding celebration thing. You carry it to them. How would you like to be in there? You knew what you put in there. I say to you, they must have had a little bit of faith. Otherwise, they'd looked at him and said, you're crazy. Ain't nothing in there but water. But how many times has it happened to us? God said, this is what I want you to do. And you say, what? That's crazy. But he simply wants us to trust him and watch. I personally believe that God performs miracles all around us almost every day. The problem is we're so busy and so our eyes are so closed, we don't see him doing it. And you get like Brother Armeo and myself and Brother Cook back there, we're just glad to put our feet on the floor early in the morning. Can you have an amen with that? And that's a miracle. But he was a miracle worker. And they carried that to, and the Lord of that wedding, beloved, said, you've saved the best to last. How would you like to be in those two servants carrying that? You knew what you put in there. He's a miracle worker. And think about this, beloved. He healed the blind. He raised the dead. He stopped that funeral procession, that young son that had died and the widow woman. He was a miracle worker. He performed miracles after miracles. And I want to say to you, he's still performing miracles today. You say, what? I don't believe that. Well, it ain't no wonder you're not seeing them. But he still performs miracles today. In this congregation, well, wait a minute. Let's just think about this. Think about this church. Don't you think that was a miracle? The first man they called, am I right, deacons, was? Who was it, Brother Clark? Did you call Brother Gamble? And who did we end up with? And the first time he said, right? I think that was a miracle. Now you can believe what you want to. I believe that was a miracle. That God changed his heart and moved upon him. I don't know the situation, what went on and all that. I just knew that little bit about it. Amen. But he's a miracle worker today. Amen. There's miracles sitting in this congregation tonight. You say, what? Yeah. Amen. Look at me. I died three times on February the 3rd. Three times. Everybody asked me, said, what'd you see when you died? Didn't see nothing. I wasn't going nowhere. Amen. A sister up in Kingsport said she died and she saw the pearly gates. I said, well, that's good. I didn't see anything because I wasn't going nowhere. Amen? But there's miracles. Brother Armeo, you and I both, it's just a miracle we're still here. Is that not right? By the grace of God. And Sister Armeo, amen? You think about it. What about it, Sister Cook? Brother Cook, what about it when you was driving 100 miles an hour down to the hospital with her in there? Huh? Am I telling it right? And Sister Cook, you want to raise your hand and wave it a little bit, please? There's a miracle. You don't have what happened to her and have a right mind. It's very rare. Amen. You need to understand that. You say, why does God do some miracle for some people and not for others? Because he's God, that's why. Your life is wrapped up in him. He may want to take you on, but about this last bout I had with my heart and everything, it just, God refreshed my mind. Praise me in the valley. Just praise me in the valley. And of course, you know, most of us do. I don't feel like praising you. I just don't feel like praising you. Hey, look what's happening to me. But I'm telling you, in that hospital room, beloved, God started sending people in, and I started praising the Lord and glorifying Him. This lady was there, and she came in about 4:30 in the morning, woke me up of all things, and I stayed nice. Amen. And I said, I guess when you get off, they work them 12-hour shifts, and you're going to go home and sleep all day and dare anybody to wake you up. She said, no, sir. I sleep 1 hour, then I get up. I sing in the praise choir. I said, you do? She said, yeah. I said, would you do something for me? She said, what's that, sir? I said, would you praise Him for me? And she lit into a song, and it got foggy in my room. Hallelujah. And I'd have took up an offering, but neither one of us had any money. Amen. Miracle work. He's still in the miracle working business. I'll go to my grave believing it. I'll go up with the Lord believing it. He is a miracle worker. The greatest miracle of all is when He saved your hell-bound soul. Amen. It don't get no greater than that. None of us deserve heaven. We deserve hell. He's a miracle working God. He can take care of you. My daughter Katrina was in college, and she called me one day and she said, I'm broke, Dad. I said, welcome to the club. She said, I got to have some money. I said, I don't have it, honey. I'm sorry. You're going to have to pray. What was it? 2 or 3 days later, here come a check from a pastor friend of mine in Ohio. I hadn't talked to him. She said, when I first looked at it, I thought it was $20, and I was saying, praise the Lord. And then she looked at it again. It was $200, wasn't it? A week, wasn't it? Huh? Okay. And after that, I believe you was known as Hallelujah Katrina, wasn't you? Amen. Amen. He's a miracle-working God. He can take care of you. You remember Jasper that used to come to church here? And he called Brother Steve when he was here, and he said, I appreciate y'all praying for me. And he said, what was the name of the town? Fuji or something like that. We was taking his town, and said we couldn't go in our Humvees. And I had all this stuff on me, equipment on me. And he said, a rocket came flying over top of me and landed out in front of me. And he said, rather than picking me up and throwing me 40 or 50 feet, it just rocked me back. I had so much equipment on me. And he said, my buddies came and ran to me. They thought, boy, he's going to be full of shrapnel. He said, one little shrapnel, I believe he said, in his vest. And he called me and Steve said, thank you for praying for me. Miracle. What about it, Brother May? You seen a few things, maybe you can just go back and say, oh, I believe that was God. God took care of me. You did a couple of tours in that place, didn't you? Miracle. I may have told you this, but I was in a little country church a few years back. In fact, the man's with the Lord now, and little old sawed-off fella, I'd have never dreamed he'd be in the Army carrying a backpack and an M1. And he said, you know where I was? And he named how many years ago it was. On this day, I said, no, sir. He said, I was in Patton's Army. I was running through the woods, snow, frozen bodies all around me. And I was praying, dear God. He said, bullets whizzing all around me. And he said, I was praying, dear God, please let me get home. Miracle. He said, I'm telling you, bullets are flying on. He said, why none of them hit me? I'll never know. Except for God. Amen. He's a miracle worker. He still can do miracles in your life if you will but trust Him and live for Him. You'd be surprised what He'll do. Amen. You say, preacher, at my home life, blah, blah, blah. My dad don't like me. My mommy don't like me. If I poured cream on my head, a cat wouldn't even lick it off. Amen. But there is a God in heaven that loves you. He loves you. And He can perform miracles for you. He can take, I've seen God take in my lifetime stammering boys, bashful boys, and turn them into great preachers. Just call them to preach. And I remember this one time this guy announced he's calling to preach. We all went, huh? What? You're going to preach? You can't even look me eyeball to eyeball and talk. You ought to be in his church now, about 200 people. That's our God. What about it, Andy? Been a few times maybe a miracle took place when you, that roof should have fell in on your way of fighting the fire, or the bullet should have hit you. It could have been a few times maybe. I remember one time, I may have told this, I was driving down the interstate and the traffic was crazy and I was getting in the flesh. I thought, boy, this is crazy. And all of a sudden, this idiot come around me. Shoom, boy. And I was doing 70, and he had to be doing 90. And I mean, he just in the traffic like that. And, you know, I did not say blessing Jesus. I'll tell you that right now. Amen. But about 5 miles down the road, I come to a screeching halt. And I really got upset. I'm not going to make it this meeting. This is crazy. And just kept inching forward. And finally, there he was. Car turned upside down. He was still in there. He was dead. The very guy that came whizzing around me. And God said, you in a hurry? I said, no, sir, I'm not no hurry. Nope, I'm not no hurry. You're going to take care of me. He took care of me. Amen. And He's a miracle working God. Amen. He transforms lives. He takes you from darkness into light. You young men, young ladies at the Haven and the Ranch, you may not like it and you may not, but God's got you here for a purpose, to show you His love. Amen. Amen. And you church kids the same way. You say, I don't like all them rules. I get so tickled at young people. I don't like all them rules. I'm going to get 18. I'm going to join the army. I said, oh, yeah, that's wonderful. God will probably put you with the meanest sergeant there is. Amen. And so, beloved, He is a miracle working God. He puts a new song in your heart. Even praises to our God. He helps you. He watches over. If we just seen, if we could just see sometimes how He protects us and takes care of us. Amen. And He blesses you. I moved 5 times in 3 years. I quit a job. I worked for 17 years for a printing company. And I quit that job and went full-time to the mountains to get enough. They were going to give me what was left at the end of the month. That's the bills they paid. That was my salary. And it wasn't... I felt sorry for Katrina. She had a little room. She hardly had enough room to get out of bed. But in 3 years we moved 5 times trying to find a place back in the coal field in Virginia. I was on the second highest mountain in Virginia. But it was the best school I ever been to. Because I had to trust it. I couldn't look out the window and see factories and, you know, I couldn't look at my congregation and say, oh, you make a good salary, you make a good salary, you make, you do that. Best school ever went to. And as I trusted Him and believed Him and watched Him perform miracle after miracle. We was up against it one time and someone knocked on our door and they said, would it offend you if we brought you some food? I said, not one bit. And then they brought all this food, and then they gave me, I forgot what it was, $150. And in Virginia, you have to keep good tires on your car. They'll stop you and put a little gauge on that, and if it's down thin, buddy, you got a ticket. And I needed tires on my little red Volkswagen. And they gave that to me and prayed with me and left. And directly I heard them pull back up and the horn blowed. And when I stepped out the door and they were both just bawling, said, "That wasn't enough, preacher. Gave me another $100. Sounds like Jesus to me. What do you think? Amen. You say, "Oh, I just did it for you because you're a preacher." He will do it for any child of God who believes that he can do it for him. And if he doesn't do it, it's simply because you don't need it. Amen. And beloved, he puts that new song in your heart. He takes you from being a slave to sin to being a saint. Isn't that something? You get born again, you become a saint. And you don't have to wait till you die in the grave for 200 years and some guy comes along with wearing a skirt and calling himself Father and makes you a saint. You become a saint the very time you get saved. You say, "But I'm not much of a saint." It don't make no difference. He says you are. Are you listening? And then, beloved, not only that, but have you forgotten that he loves you? God loves you. He doesn't look to see how much money you've got in your pocket. He doesn't look to see if you've got a lot of hair or no hair. He doesn't look at things like that. He looks at your heart and says, "I love you." And I want to say, and this is hard for me to comprehend, I'll be honest with you, as long as I've been a Christian, how that he can, even at my lowest part life of a Christian life, he still says, "I love you." Even when I fail him, he says, "I love you." The love of God is always reaching out. And we're living in what to call the grace period of time. Beloved, and beloved, but let me say this to you. There's coming a day when that love will stop because you spurned it. You would not trust Christ as Lord and Savior. You just went your own way. And then it's the wrath of God. Amen? I'm glad for his love. Amen? And not only that, beloved, He's Lord of lords and King of kings. Have you forgotten that? He is in control. I know them. Let me think of a nice word. I can't think of one. Them politicians. They think they've got it all under. They just, I'm saying myself, dumb. Amen? You know what the answer to our schools is and all this shooting is? It's God. I say go back to posting the Ten Commandments in the rooms and see what happens. They took prayer out, took the Ten Commandments out, and now we're killing them. They're killing one another. And they want to take away our guns. I have a word for that. Puke. Amen. What we got to do is just watch who we give them to and guard them. Amen. Last of all, he's coming again. Have you forgotten that? When I first started preaching years ago, about every other sermon you'd hear was coming of the Lord. Same for you? I heard Dr. B.R. Lakin preach one time. He had had a heart attack and he came up in the pulpit with a rolled up book of somehow. And he opened that thing up and he got to preaching on the coming of the Lord. And I'm telling you, the old times you say, it was thick. You was afraid to even scratch your nose. It should grieve the spirit. It was awesome. He made that so real, I wanted to run outside and look up in the clouds and see if I seen the cloud with Jesus on it. I'm honest with you. And he made this statement. He said that one day the trump will sound. The dead in Christ will rise first because they got a few more feet to go than me. He said, then we'll be changed. He said, I'll make one step and I'll be above the tree line. I'll make another step and I'll be above the power line. And it'll be, rag man, if you ain't saved, you're going to have a field day picking up my rags. It was awesome. It was awesome. When he gave the altar call, I don't know how many got saved. I mean, of course, it was a huge church, but it was awesome. On the coming of the Lord. He's coming. You say, I've heard it all my life. Good, you're not without excuse when you stand before Him. He's coming. Amen? As I said, as a young preacher, I'd hear sermon after sermon, just a whole sermon on the coming of the Lord. Israel back in the land, and all the different signs that's taken place. And Jesus is coming again. Amen? We've sit around and forgotten who He is. Yeah. He's Lord. He's King. He's Savior. He is in control. He will save you if you will but come to the end of yourself and trust Christ as Lord and Savior. You may be here tonight and you've been telling people you're saved, but down inside you know there's been no change. No change. I'd check that out. I'd come on this altar. I wouldn't care what anybody said. I'd come to this altar and I'd talk to the Lord about it. Amen? And we need to remember and to repent and to rejoice in Him. We need to praise Him for who He is. Amen? We need to just praise Him. It won't hurt you every now and then to go. Amen? I tell you what, let's do, Miss Bev. Can we get Carl to stand? Now, Carl, tell him, I want you to turn around and show them the sign for praise the Lord. Is there a sign for that, Miss Bev? Huh? Can you do that? Let's try that one time. Come on, you sophisticated. Amen. You didn't have to say a thing, did you? And Carl taught us how to praise the Lord. Amen. Anything wrong with it? Not a thing. People think the Pentecostal people and the charismatic people got an edge on that. They haven't done it. Amen. Thank you for helping me preach, Carl. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Ain't He wonderful? And we ought to praise Him. If you're a quiet kind of person, do what I've told you in the past. Go into a room, close the door, pull the shades, and start going down the alphabet praising Him. Oh, He's the Almighty. Oh, He's the blesser of my soul. He cares about me. Oh, He's such a darling. He gave me eternal life. You understand? Amen. Going through the alphabet. Okay, thank you. He's faithful. Amen. He's glorious. He's holy, holy, holy. And you get in the room and start doing that. Illuminator of my soul. He gives me great joy. I won't go through the whole thing, but when you get it to the X, you say, what do I use for an X? He's the X-rayer of my soul. An X marks the spot where I got saved. I remember that spot. Amen. You may not remember the date or the time, but you can close your eyes and say, I remember. Woohoo! Hallelujah. And you do that, and then you wipe the tears out of your eyes, get composed, open the door, pull the shades up, and go out. Nobody will know that you were in there acting like an idiot. They'll not know it. Oh, but wait a minute. Maybe they will. Because it'll change you. If nothing else, it'll notify your face. Because you're feeling better. You've been praising Him. It'll help you when you go to the grocery store and have to pay for the groceries. You say, It'll help you when you drive up to put gas in your car and you're smiling. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Yes, some people are going to say, I'm telling you right now, I'm ruled. But you'll be happy in the Lord. You'll be glad you gave Him praise. And He's worthy of praise. I'm quitting with this, and I know I've told y'all this, but the Spirit was impressing my heart to tell you again. This little old fella that came to our church when his assistant pastor named Charlie Clips. And Charlie didn't have it all together, okay? He didn't have it all together. Sometimes would get up and say, anybody want to testify? And he wouldn't jump up immediately. He waited a few minutes. And nobody stood up. He stood up and said, me want to say me got that old time religion. Me ain't got that new stuff. Me got that old time religion. Amen. He didn't say that. Praise God. He went to church all the time. Aggravated to death. Katrina was a small little girl, and he'd come, you go church, preacher, me be standing on the street corner, you pick me up. And he'd get in, he'd have peanut butter dripping down the side. He loved peanut butter crackers. Poor little Katrina had to sit in the back and smell peanut butter. But he would go to church, and walk. Took you a while to get there, and I got there a little bit late. I sit down in the back, and people were getting saved and everything. And Charlie had a, when the Spirit of the Lord would get on, he would start doing this. And all of a sudden, I seen this arm going. I leaned over. Now, I'm way back in the mountains of Virginia. He lived in Kingsport. And after the service, he walked up grinning real big, said, me bet you surprised to see me. I said, I'm surprised to see you, Charlie. How'd you get here? He said, me call that preacher. And he would do that. He'd aggravate you. Wouldn't he, Katrina? He'd aggravate us to death. Most people don't realize this in Kingsport, and they're going to stand before God one day. Charlie loved Jesus and his testimony of going to church all the time. Just going. They're going to stand before God, Kingsport, Tennessee, will stand before God for a little old fellow. Most people say, it's sidewalk. Don't go all the way to the front porch, you know. But you know what Charlie was doing? He was praising the Lord. He was praising the Lord. It's amazing. I pastored four churches in 25 years. Every one of them had at least one what I call Charlie Clips in them. Every one of them. Say, why? God wanted to see how we'd treat them. Hello. And you know you're not treating angels unaware. You never know. And yes, sometimes they get very aggravating. He would aggravate me to death. You go to church, we be here. You pick me up. You. And even when I wasn't going to church, why don't you go, preacher? You pick me up. Me need to go to this revival. Come on. Yeah, Charlie. We need to praise him. You say that's fanaticism. Well, you call it anything you want. I wonder if you're going to like heaven. Do you realize what we're going to be doing? You quiet folks are going to get fanatical in heaven. We're going to have a time. What do you think we're going to do? Sit around and sip coffee all day? And we need to praise him. Have you forgotten who he is? Have you forgotten the day that he came to you and convicted you of a sinner and drawed you to Christ? Maybe you need to come around this altar and just do that. I believe if that started happening, we'd see that revival you're talking about. Because we wouldn't be worried. Now, you can say what you want to about Pentecostal people and charismatic, but they don't worry about who's sitting next to them. They just go on praising. They're going to think I'm kind of crazy. They already know that. Amen. Amen. I remember when I first came to Shenandoah, 25 years ago. And Brother Steve was here, and Josh Grubbs. Josh told me one day, he said, you're used to a more boisterous, noisy church, aren't you? I said, what do you mean by that? He said, well, you're used to more amening and shouting and praying. I said, well, yeah, a little bit, yeah. But I said, that's all right. I said, we need the Word of God. I'm fine. I said, am I making y'all nervous? He said, no. It's all right. And don't ask me to change. God performed a miracle in my life when He reached down and saved my hell-bound soul. One side was modernism, the other side was the cult. And then He called me to preach, Hayden. Why shouldn't I preach like a house of fire? Why shouldn't I holler amen? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. You say, I'm afraid of wildfire. I'm afraid of no fire. That's what I'm afraid of. You see, I'm closing with this. I remember the days as a young preacher when I seen people get onto conviction and they would grab the back of the bench and shake. Just shake. I held a revival meeting one time in this one church. I think it was 23 souls saved. But one night this woman come and she kind of staggered out in the middle of the aisle. I didn't know if she was drunk or what was going on. But then she said, well, somebody, please help me. Get to the altar. I've got to get saved. She was so under conviction she couldn't hardly walk. Two ladies got on each side of her and brought her to the altar. When I went on deputation, I went back to that church, and I happened to mention it because that church had really calmed down. And she stood and she said, I'm that lady. I'm still here. That was a good night, 30-some years ago, at the time. When I said, oh, ain't it wonderful? Have you forgotten who you are? Maybe you need to come around and say, Lord, refresh my mind. Help me to think on you. And when sickness comes, think on you. When problems come, think on you. But when difficulties come, think on you. Think of you and what you've done and how you've helped us. That's our God. He's a miracle worker. He's a miracle worker. Amen. You say, I'm afraid of fanaticism. I'm afraid of nothing. Real. The church, when I was assistant pastor, it would get on, and sometimes some charismatic people would come try to change us over, and they'd be back in the back trying to speak in tongues or something. And the deacons were very spiritual minded. They'd just walk up to them in a nice, rock way and say, sir, we're Baptists. We don't worship that way. You need to calm down. Now, if you want to worship that way, that's fine. You go to your church and worship that way. They didn't say, you're heathen. They just very nicely told me. Amen. And that's the way it ought to be. It always amazes me anyway. That crowd, they'll come into your church and try to tear it up. But if we went to their church, and tried to tell them, hey, you're not working your way to heaven. You're not going to heaven because you speak in tongues. You're going to heaven because you trusted Christ and Christ alone. And you're not going to heaven just because you're a shouting Baptist. That don't take you to heaven. It's Christ and Christ alone. Amen. But we need to praise Him. Let's stand to our feet.